As we prepare to hear God's word to gather this evening, let us go before God in a time of prayer. Almighty God, in the stillness of this moment, of this hour, of this time, speak to us of your eternal truth. Open our eyes to see as you would have us see. Open our ears to hear as you would have us hear. Open our minds to know as you would have us know, and open our hearts to love as you would have us love. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock and my salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and all God's people said. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 27. We pick up where we left off last week in verse 12 of Numbers 27. And we will read Numbers 27, verses 12 through 23. There we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go up this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people, as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes.' These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin. Moses said to the Lord, 'May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in.' Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, as the Lord instructed through Moses." This is the word of the Lord. This week we come in the story of Numbers to a significant transition for God's people. Moses has been the leader, the voice, who had been the intermediary between God and God's people, leading God's people ever since they left Egypt. He has led them through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But he's been more than just a leader. He's been the one who goes into the very presence of God in the tabernacle on behalf of God's people. It's a significant transition, not just because they're losing their leader of so long. You also have this new generation who is about to enter the promised land. And this new generation needs to know who God is and who they are relative to God. So what I'm going to suggest is that what we see tonight in the story of Joshua taking over leadership from Moses, we see more than just a simple transition of leadership, but we see a recapitulation of the story of Israel in the desert. That is, the story of Joshua taking over for Moses is going to bring to mind several other things that have happened over the course of the book of Numbers in order to remind Israel of their story, to remind them of who they are, of where they have been, so that they are better equipped for where they are going. And it starts with Moses in verse 14. God says to Moses, "When the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both you and Aaron disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin." And it includes that parenthetical These are the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, and the desert of Jin, just to make sure that we know that this is the specific time we're talking about, the time that Moses was instructed to speak to the rock to bring forth water, and instead Moses chose to hit the rock, as had worked previously. And when we looked at that passage a few months ago here at Covenant, what we saw then was that the problem with Moses hitting the rock instead of speaking to it as he was instructed was that by not trusting God's command, that wasn't just the only problem. The problem was that underneath Moses not listening to God's command was a failure to trust the new creation that God was doing. To put it one way, Moses wasn't trusting the power of God's word to bring about the new thing that God was doing, the way that God was working this new creation, the redemption of all things. And so we said then, when we looked at the story of Israel at the waters of Meribah, that God was going to call a leader who would be able and willing to trust the power of God's word. One who would be willing to live into this new thing that God was doing. And the way that the story of Israel was preparing to enter the promised land was the start of this new creation. And so as Moses prepares to hand over the leadership of God's people to Joshua, we have this reminder of what God has been doing, that entering the promised land isn't just about fulfilling covenant promises. Entering the promised land isn't just about giving them a place to live, but that entering the promised land is part of God's story of redemption of all things, part of God restoring and redeeming all creation. And when Moses hit the rock instead of spoke it, he wasn't trusting God's power to restore all things through Israel. And so instead we need a new leader, and this brings us to Joshua. In verse 18, the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun." Joshua, of course, will be the one who will lead God's people. And the reason that Joshua is one of only two people who will survive the travels through the wilderness is because that brings us back to the report of the spies. When Joshua and Caleb, who went into the promised land, saw what was there and came back and said, "No, we can do it with God's help." Joshua had a demonstrated trust in the big picture of what God was doing. He had gone to the promised land, saw all that there was to be afraid of, and still said, "We can do it." So in this transition, we have a reminder of Moses not trusting what God was about to do. Being taken over in leadership by Joshua, who trusted so much he was willing to risk his own neck to go against the other 10 spies. Both recalling what's already happened in Numbers. And so this leads us to verse 19, when God tells Moses to bring Joshua before Eleazar the priest. And the reason that Eleazar is entrusted by God to act on God's behalf is because of what happened in Numbers 25. In Numbers 25, God's people have given themselves over to the worship of Baal. And it is Eleazar's son Phinehas who puts an end to it. And God says in Numbers 25, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, since he was as zealous for my honor among them as I am. I did not put an end to them in my zeal. Therefore, tell him I am making my covenant of peace with him. He and his descendants will have a covenant of a lasting priesthood because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites." So Moses, the one who didn't trust the power of God's word, who didn't see what God was about to do, who didn't have the big picture of God's restoration of all things, will be taken over in leadership by Joshua, the one who, despite the ill report of the 10 spies, stood strong. And so Joshua will go before Eleazar, the one whose line was zealous for God's honor, the one whose son made peace between God and Israel. And therefore, because of that, in verses 20 through 23, Joshua is given authority, pointing us back yet again to another story of Israel in the wilderness. For we may think of Numbers chapter 12, where Miriam and Aaron get upset and say, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he spoken also through us?" And so they oppose Moses. Or the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in Numbers chapter 16, where they come as a group along with 250 others from the people of Israel, and they say the same thing: "Are not all God's people holy?" This transition in leadership, yes, it's born out of a very practical necessity. Moses is about to die. He's not going to continue into the promised land. There have been crises of authority before, and Joshua, since he's been Moses' aide since his youth, well, he makes a great choice as the new leader. There is indeed a very practical necessity to replacing Moses as leader of God's people. And yet we cannot miss the ways in which this story of Joshua replacing Moses intentionally points us back to what has happened throughout Numbers. It points us toward the big story of what God is doing through the people of Israel, of how God is planning to restore all of creation. But ultimately it points us toward the story of what is yet to come. And we see that especially in verses 15 through 17. Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." Moses' role was not just to govern God's people, was to go into God's presence in the tabernacle. Moses was the one who spoke face to face with God, the one who interceded on behalf of God's people. Moses was the one who went out and came into the presence of God before the people. And Moses says they need another leader, or else they would be like sheep without a shepherd. And that idea is picked up on in two passages. Isaiah 53, we read, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, seems to pick up on both Isaiah 53 and Numbers 27 and kind of brings them together into one thought. And it says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Moses' passing means that God's people need someone to intercede for them. They need someone who can go in and come out from the presence of God. And the shepherd that God chooses in the book of Numbers is Joshua. And in Hebrew, you would say Yeshua. And Yeshua is also better known for its Greek form, Jesus. The good shepherd who goes into the presence of God, who intercedes on our behalf, who intercedes on behalf of God's people, who makes it so that we, though we are sheep who go astray, as Numbers 27 reminds the people of, as they are not like sheep without a shepherd, given Joshua, the one who will shepherd them and guide them, so too, in a more perfect way, we are given the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. The transition of leadership between Moses and Joshua reminds us of the story of who Israel was and where they had been and how God had brought them to this point. And by reminding them of who they were and where they had been, in particular the story of the people of Israel at Meribah, it reminded them of who they were called to be, that they were God's plan of restoration for all creation. And just as God was working for the restoration and redemption of all things, of all creation, through Israel, ultimately leading to the person of Jesus, so through that good shepherd, God has commissioned us to live as part of that new creation. You see, one of the things that we found as we've looked at the book of Numbers here at Covenant for the last year and a half is that we too are on a journey. Like the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness, you might say that we live in the already but not yet. We have already been invited into covenant relationship with God. We have already had that relationship with God affirmed for us, and yet we are not yet in the promised land. We are still awaiting the ultimate final fulfillment of God's promises. But even as we live in the wilderness, even as we live in that already but not yet, God invites us to live in the way things will be. To look back on the story of where we've been and look back on the story of God's people and be reminded of God's enduring faithfulness and be called to live with continued obedience into the future. Through Jesus, God invites us into the new creation. Through Jesus, the Word of God, we have life. And God invites us to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, to live in that new creation. To arrange our lives in the way things will be. To pattern our lives after the Good Shepherd. So that though we, like sheep, have gone astray, we are not like sheep without a shepherd. But we follow the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. We live in the power of God's Word. And we experience the life that comes from following our Good Shepherd, the one who intercedes for us, the one who comes in and goes out to the presence of God, who has interceded for us, who has washed us clean of our sin. And has poured out on us abundant grace. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are reminded of your faithfulness from generation to generation. As we consider the story of where we have been and where we are going, we are reminded that you call us to live in your new creation. As we are reminded that we are not yet living in the promised land, we look back on your enduring faithfulness and the ways that you have guided us and led us safely to this point. And we trust you, our hope for years to come. Heavenly Father, as we are reminded tonight of the ways that you called Israel to remember who they were as they anticipated where they were going, may we be reminded not only of the ways that we have failed to live as your children, but more importantly, may we be reminded that we are your children, that we are forgiven, that we are set free. Empower us, we pray, to live in light of that hope. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.